I'd like to share with you three ideas which come from the readings today. Sometimes the problem is with the readings, there's so much in it to reflect upon, to strengthen our faith. It's somewhat overwhelming. I've got a little bit of that sense today with all the readings that we have and the depth of their beauty and meaning. So I'll just mention them rather than give a homily on them. First thing is about calling God a name. When we get to know a person and who they are, one of the forms of intimacy is you call them by their name. Now, Moses had the extraordinary experience, perhaps with Abraham, of having an intimate relationship with Almighty God. That's sort of scary. And the people wanted Moses to ask, what God is this? Is this the God of the Greeks or the Romans? They all had individual names. So Moses went up and asked, what is your name? The answer came back, I am. Now that's not a human name, but it describes the essence of God, the one who is, who has been, with no beginning, middle, or end. And secondarily, it means I am is responsible for all that is, meaning existence, phenomena. I am. Now, there was another name which we were given in the New Testament by which God increased the depth of intimacy between himself and us. And who knows that name in the New Testament? Somebody. So I'm going deaf. No, New Testament. Yes, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate form of personal intimacy between God and man. God sent his only son to save us. What a privilege it must have been, of course, to know the Lord person to person. Let's talk also about some ideas from the Gospel of Luke today. They complained to Jesus about some tragedy that happened to some Jews and Galileans, that Pilate had murdered them, and that some were killed by a falling tower. And Jesus is telling them, well, just because you believe and you're a good person doesn't guarantee you'll be protected from the mistakes, from the hardships, from even the tragedies of life. None of us were given that promise. In fact, just the opposite. He said, if you want to be a follower of mine, take up your cross daily and follow me. There's no promise of protection. And so the meaning of Jesus is here. You're not protected, so make sure you're close to God. Because you never know when your time is coming. There's no guarantee of special protection because you come to church. It doesn't work that way. Finally, he gives us a parable about a strange one, I think, about a fig tree and bearing fruit. And apparently, there's a gardener who represents God. Excuse me. There's the owner of the garden who represents, is his God. The gardener takes care of the tree, is Jesus, and we represent the tree itself. And as you notice, it doesn't bear any fruit. And God is getting impatient with it. It's doing no good just taking up space in my garden. Cut it down. But the gardener says, be patient. I'll fertilize it. Give it help. Take care of it and water it. Give it another year and see if it bears fruit. It tells us about the mercy and patience of Jesus Christ. He's the gardener who takes care of us year after year after year, even if we don't respond to the grace he gives us. God is patient with us. And there's another thing. He says, he wants us to bear fruit. wants us to bear fruit. There's a lot of interpretations of that. I'll give you just one. Actually, I'll ask you to go and think about it, because I'm going to give you some examples of when we do not bear fruit. And we see a lot of that around in our day and age, our culture and society, a lot of things which obviously don't bear fruit. I just listed them here, some of them, so I wouldn't forget some of the main ones. For example, we're dried up and not doing any good, producing any fruit, if we're filled with pride, anger, resentment, hatred, cruelty, mercilessness, prejudice, greed. Those ones came to my mind, and the list can be continued. So how, as followers of the Lord, can we bear fruit? Do the opposite of what I just mentioned.